Father's Day, what to do? Sometimes the questions are huge. I mean, do we get Dad the soap on the rope, or do we get him that really tacky tie that he can look really cool in? But I suspect on a day like Father's Day, sometimes the ponderings and the questions are ruminating a little more deeply. We gather today with hopes and dreams and expectations of what a father should be, could be, would have been. Sometimes we gather with those hopes and dreams and expectations in ways that we might have fallen short. Some of us, myself included, lost a father far, far too early in life. And some of us don't have that opportunity to say things to our fathers that we wish we could have in this life. And others have deep regrets about the kind of father that we have been or the kind of father we received sometimes. And still others have feelings around unfulfilled wishes around the identity of becoming father. It's a very complicated day indeed for us all. I find this day to be interesting in visiting other churches that I'm not leading worship and just to kind of take in worship. I've seen many churches where it is so complicated and so sensitive that I think the choice they've made is to completely avoid the topic of conversation. Yet as I think about this day, I think that this is a day that we acknowledge men who do their very best, and I know so many of them, that do their very best to offer their love and their guidance and their leadership in their lives and indeed in their communities. What I suggested, as you saw on the front cover on the bulletin leaflet, is we broaden our scope of conversation this morning to call this Fathering Sunday. And I'm using the wisdom of the United Kingdom when I suggest this. The United Kingdom, they have a day set aside for Mothering Sunday, as many will know, and Fathering Sunday. And we broaden this conversation, as Alicia was sharing with our younger members in the church. It allows us to acknowledge the positive contributions of men, some of whom are fathers, but of men in the world, in their families, and in the communities. Theologically, we read in Scripture, in our creation, that we are created in the image of God. And the creation story talks about our uniqueness, being created male and female. And we have unique roles, males and females, to play in creating a healthy, vital, resilient world and family as we go forth. I suspect the men from Mars and the women are from Venus, and together we have that opportunity to create a healthy, holistic world. I think more than ever, society needs men's gifts, men's wisdom, men's love, men's compassion. I suspect we all need that as a world. As we start off, I think if we were to go in this direction, we come with a very interesting problem. Because historically, in the last little while, men have been given these mixed messages about how they are to behave in the world, what they are to do in the world, such a mixture of messages we have received. We know how incredibly shaped we are by media and television, of course, and I'm just going to do a little show and tell with you for a quick second and advance a few things. So you'll be able to tell me if, Forrest, if we can just advance this. This is not working. Forrest, can you just advance that a slide for me? So who is this here? Ward Cleaver. This is an image we go back to the 50s, and I think we still to this day remember this squeaky clean saint image of a father that we have been given. Leave It to Beaver, the TV show. You remember that one? Even now, he was giving perfect advice to that troublemaking little son throughout that story. The next image, if we can, remember that? Charles Inglis. Little House on the Prairie. It's that wonderful, hardworking pioneer of a father that was just above reproach, just an amazing man. The next one, if we see, remember him? Howard Cunningham, Happy Days. And remember all those young adults in his life that would always come to him in his cardigan sweater, dispensing such amazing advice to these young people in their dilemmas. These are some amazing images, and I think many of us look at them almost like we could never possibly achieve these pillars of virtue. Well, there were some changes that happened in the 70s. The next image there, things got very interesting. You remember Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch? Well, this was a controversial show when it first came out, you remember? Because they were blending two families. Mike was blending family with his wife. And even then he did that, though, even he was almost a saint the way that they did that together. Well, in the 90s, things got really, really interesting. If we could just flip again. Next slide, if we could. Thank you. Things got really different. In the 90s, we met Al Bundy. Remember Married with Children? Almost a whole decade of that. We meet this vulgar personality who was just an absolute jerk, could I say that, to his family? Okay, good, I can say that. Next person, at the same time, remember him. The same time in the 90s, Homer Simpson from the Simpsons TV show. He would openly abuse his children, choking Bart. He was a sloth. He was publicly drunk on regular occasions, and he was almost in the dictionary a picture of stupidity, really. And then things got even more troubling in the new millennium when we met Tony Soprano of The Sopranos. We met a father, we met a man that epitomizes, that glamorized violence and sexual promiscuity. And I think what that's happened is we've had this range, this continuum of what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a leader in the world? And how are we to receive men today? And what really came for me was this next one here about 2 weeks ago, and it'll be hard, I'll read some of the highlights for you. This is a Facebook post, and I saw this. It's from Spokane, Washington, and it's an ad. It's a general ad. They're really looking for a generic father figure. These are some young adults, early 20s kids, and they are looking for a barbecue dad, someone it says on there that will stand over the barbecue and grill the meat while dad is talking about building fences, other dad things, Jimmy Buffett, all that kind of stuff. And the part that really spoke to me the loudest, I don't know if you can read this line, but I want to really highlight this. It said, none of us are prepared fill the role of barbecue dad. It really spoke to me when I was looking at that. I thought, what is going on in our world today? What is going on in our world today? I think we are in a world that is in need of good men, good fathers indeed, but good men that can be role models, that can offer love and guidance and wisdom and leadership in their living. You can flip it now, Farah, for us. Thank you. In the text, we meet another such person. I think we meet what you could call him the godfather, almost, of the Jewish faith. Reverberating through the faith, we meet Moses, foundational spiritual leader, leading the Israelites up out of slavery in Egypt, parting the waters of the Red Sea towards freedom. When they are hungry, he gives them manna. When they are thirsty, he gets water from a rock. And when they need to find ways to live in right relationship with God, he descends from Mount Sinai with the two stone tablets, the Ten Commandments, for them to hear. Now, the Ten Commandments have just been recited to them, and what follows are six chapters reflecting about the way to live out the Ten Commandments. In the text that Dan read for us in those 9 verses lection that we heard, we have a reflection on how we live out the first 2 commandments, namely, how to have no other gods before Yahweh, before the Jewish God Yahweh, and for us not to fashion idols or to bow down before other nations' gods. It's an interesting time for them, because consider this, there are other countries around them, very strong and very powerful in their own right. Israelites were never powerful, and they had their own gods. and their own senses of success. And Moses, in this sermon, is teaching them of Yahweh's supremacy over every and other god known. He gives them what's called the Shema, the Shema which many Jewish people will place at their doorposts. They will have a little scroll written and place it. I have one in my door. It's a reminder as you pass through it. It blesses them. It reminds them how to live. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's interesting. It doesn't say that God is the Lord. It says that God is one. The Lord is one. The Lord alone. Everything else just wishes away. I wonder about all the other in our world small g gods that we fashion and follow, sometimes without even realizing it. What are the small g gods that we might fashion that we seek to give our life depth or meaning and we forget what we're really doing? What are the small g gods that we fashion a way to take the pains and take the struggles away of life? Addictions, dysfunctions, our consumeristic culture where we try and shove more and more stuff into our life that feels so empty at times. It's a reminder that the Lord our God is one. At our rising and at our setting down, God is the beginning and the end point. God is the creator, and God goes into the beyond, that which we don't fully even understand. As we focus this morning on how we follow and who we follow, I think that the verse that follows that Shema is the most meaningful one for us, the most informative. After the Shema, it says, keep these words I'm commanding in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're away, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Bind them on your hand, fix them on your forehead, write them on your doorposts and on the fence of your home. They're challenging verbs. This is the way we are called to follow. Keeping those words, reciting them to others, talking about them, binding them and fixing them, writing them on the doorposts of our lives. It's a call for us to express that reality of the oneness of God, of the uniqueness of God, of the wholeness of God through all that we do and all that we are. Jesus picked that up and shared how we might go about doing that in our living, in our breathing, and in our serving. We read through all of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that all kind of shared so much text together. Jesus is asked the same question by the scribe. Which of those 10 commandments is the greatest? Jesus' response is the same to each question. Jesus returns that question, which is the greatest? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's that call for us to articulate our living with God being at the very center and everything flowing out from that reality. It's that same call in all the other world religions. Isn't it interesting as well? The Jewish Talmud, of course, as well. What is hateful to you, it quotes, do not do to your fellow man. This is the entire law. All the rest is commentary. In Islam, it says, no one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself. The Buddhist traditions, along with many other Eastern, hurt no others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. It's a call for us to live out this reality of God being at the very center. So how does that look in our world today? How has that played out in 2017 in such a complex world? Certainly, as we think about our fathers, it's certainly a call for Father that is being there for his children, for his family, for his community. But I think also, as Elisha was lifting up in the story, it's a call for others to step up. To step up and teach Sunday school or youth group or do all the many things that happen and that touch the lives of others. It's a call for others to step up in the way that they help out in groups like Cubs and Scouts and Brownies. We're talking about that earlier with the choir. It's a call for others to step up on the soccer field, the ice rink, and all the places where life is lived. It's a call for people. It's a call for people to stop. And to talk to the children and the teens of our world that they might grow in the ways of life, realities of that gift of God. And that whenever we do any of those things, to do so with the reminder, that humble reminder that whenever we share, that we will be given so much more in return for our service. Of course, if I could just get you to flip to the next screen. I was, about a month ago, I was with the kids, and we were at the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 movie. This is the latest movie, superhero movie in the Marvel family of superhero movies. It's about a month old, so some of you may have seen it or heard about it already. It's an amazing movie, and a little spoiler alert, but I suspect you may have seen it if you wanted to. There's a battle that occurs between a father and a son. And in the story, Star-Lord, the son, is battling with his father named Ego. Now, you know if a guy is named Ego, he's probably going to be trouble. Well, this is not to go too long about it, but he's a really bad guy. In the end, there is an epic battle between Star-Lord and his father, Ego. Star-Lord triumphs, and Ego dies. And there is this deep, deep sadness, kind of this soft, tender moment as Star-Lord feels alone. And then, in an effort to comfort him, Star-Lord's pseudo-father figure named Quill, he says his profound words. He says, "He may have been your father, but he never was your daddy." And I just kind of sat with that, and I thought, you know, that's really the call for us all, isn't it? Indeed, it's the call to live out that, because we can all offer those gifts, as Elisha was sharing. Those calls, that identity of love and compassion and care, no matter whether we are a father or not, a mother or not, we are called to live out that commandment Jesus calls us to love our neighbor as ourself. So on this day that we celebrate Fathers and Fathering Sunday, may we continue to encourage and support them in the gifts that they offer. But may we also celebrate and encourage all those who offer their gifts of love and wisdom and leadership, knowing always that God is at the center of all that we are and all that we do. Thanks be to God. Amen.